Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. This is where Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi bring you the latest news and information on pro wrestling and MMA, as well as interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap with your hosts, Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi.
All right, welcome to another edition of Ringside Wrap. It's Wednesday night. We're not here last week, and tonight we're actually going to be lessless, so just me and Mike coming to you tonight. Well, we got to play a little catch-up at the top, so before we get into anything that we actually planned on would have normally planned on covering at the top, let's go ahead and hit it at the top now and play catch-up on what we might have done last week. I know, Mike, you wanted to talk a little bit about Manny and Mosley.
Well, yeah, just that, you know, it was one of those things where you talk a lot about, are you getting your value out of your wrestling pay-per-views? And even though there was a good Jorge Arce semi-main event bout, which, you know, there are a lot of boxing pay-per-views. I mean, they're very lacking on the undercards. A lot of the excuses were, well, we've polled people, and they've said boxing undercards don't matter. They're a pain to see the main event, which is true. But with that said, in the 80s, when Mike Tyson went to jail, Julio Cesar Chavez was a massive, and I mean massive for the time, pay-per-view draw for Showtime. And the reason that was because he was built up on these Don King loaded up undercards that used to take place on these pay-per-views. And, you know, there wasn't much of an undercard this time around for Pacquiao and Mosley, which left people with the main event. And the main event was, as a lot of people expected, Manny Pacquiao just beating up on Shane Mosley for 12 rounds, and it probably would have been worse. But apparently, according to Manny Pacquiao, he just his calf muscles tensed up in about the third round, and he just kind of cruised from there beating on Mosley. I tell you, I don't think we did, obviously we didn't talk about this on this show, but I talked about it with Brian on Wrestling Observer Live. It's Pacquiao and Mosley was a waste of Showtime's kind of efforts in the hopes of CBS that I had for CBS when they made the move and Top Rank Promotions went over there. I think they kind of squandered their opportunities, even though the 24/7 Impact they should have gotten more of that on CBS, and unfortunately with the times and the days that the fight camp shows were shown, you didn't get that 24/7 maximum impact. And I think they did kind of squander away a little bit of the impact that this fight, you know, could have, because, you know, realistically, outside of Pacquiao and Mayweather, this is pretty much the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. You only have one this year, and it's kind of been squandered away now. Now, I'm not crying for anybody's. It's, you know, easily going to do a million buys on pay-per-view, but it's, you know, I wonder, did they really get the maximum impact out of this? Because I'm sure in the back of their minds they were hoping for at least a million and a half, and they didn't get it, and that's too bad. And it was, you know, it's just a little bit disappointing, and it's a show, again, of even though they aired, they've tried to do different things, and they actually aired the entire, the entire undercard from 6:30 on, online, and that was a pretty cool thing to do for diehard boxing fans, and they ran that, and, you know, everything looked good and looked pretty, and the aesthetics were great, and the cameras and all that sort of stuff for Showtime announcing top-notch and the whole nine yards, but I think they just made some missteps, and they just didn't feel everybody out right as far as getting the maximum draw out of that, because that was, again, the biggest boxing, you know, show of the year. And you know, boxing, they always love having that big fight once a year to try to show up the UFC. Like, geez, hey, we did 2 million pay-per-view buys. Yeah, UFC's never done that. So, yeah, but they're doing a million every month, which is a big, you know, a big difference. And they squandered. They had one for 2011, and they didn't do it.
So, basically, no matter how anybody tries, I'm right, boxing is dead.
It's never going to be dead, but it's more European than ever. We've already started seeing the shift in Latinos, as far as the age groups go, you know, it kind of, and you'd say about most of America, white and black, if you're 50 and over, you're going to like boxing or at least understand boxing and not have any time for MMA or not want to understand it or whatever you think about it. You know, it seems to be about under that. Maybe it's 45 where that's kind of the case in America. And we're starting to see the number drop for, you know, Latinos too, where we're going to start seeing that, you know, Cain Velasquez and a lot of guys, we're going to start seeing that, you know, in Mark Munoz and an influx of, you know, Mexican-Americans and people with Latino heritage in MMA, and that's going to take away from boxing and those traditional boxing strongholds. I mean, it's never going to go away completely or anything like that. I mean, you know, in tough, you know, countries who don't have as much as the United States or England or something like that, I mean, it's still people fight to get out, and that's, you know, what they do. So the boxing's never going to go away. It's always going to be ingrained, but you're going to start seeing some of those people who would box start getting into MMA, and you're going to start seeing the erosion there where, you know, Latinos buy a lot of boxing pay-per-views. Those, you know, Chavez Jr. pay-per-views have done well. Plenty have done well. There's been a whole, you know, Filipino and Mexican and Puerto Rican aimed shows with Juan Manuel Lopez and Edwin Valero. There's been, you know, plenty of guys out there. So, but you're going to start seeing, you know, a lot of those places lose guys to MMA too. But, you know, boxing will still be strong, but it's eroding, but it'll never go away. But you're just going to start seeing it shift and change in more places, and still, you know, a dominant. You're going to start seeing still more dominant Europeans too, with more promotional tie-ins and more fans that are willing to throw into it.
And after all, though, we know what matters the most, and that is wrestling. Wrestling.
Well, because wrestling matters.
That's what TNA is telling us. Yeah, that's what TNA is telling us. You know, we were talking about it just before we went to air, and not the first time this has been done, but it was done major big time with a lot of promo videos put out over the weekend, and oh God, billboards put up in Stamford. I guess, you know, that sends WWE running to the hills. But more or less, the spoilers we get out of this week's tapings for this Thursday and next Thursday's shows really don't read much different than some of the shows, the way they've been playing out prior to Wrestling Mattering.
Not that they haven't hit the reset button a zillion times or anything. It's not like they haven't said something revolutionary is going to happen. Now, Wrestling Matters, and I know this is, I'm sure, part of a longer-term story, I guess, I would think, I would hope. Who knows? But you have Abyss going out there and winning the title winning the X Division title. Didn't you do this with Carl Ouellette as the dreaded X, where he went in there and beat up all those, you know, flippy-do guys and smacked them around and embarrassed the whole division? I mean, was that not the case? Did that not happen already?
I believe it did. The flippy-do guys?
you know, I forget who actually coined that phrase. I mean, Alvarez, but I think it was somebody, I don't know, it was Buddy Wayne or something like that, you know, out there doing the flippy-doos. Les would be far more cruel about that, but... You know, still, you know, not, you know, they've already done this, and again, yeah, no reason to get excited, no reason to get angry or upset or even happy. Just sit there and go, okay,
next. No, but we have reason to continue to be frustrated with this company for not getting anything right, or not getting most of everything right. I mean, let's face it.
I think I've driven myself so crazy over time because I was the one who used to buy those weekly pay per views because I was reviewing them actually for the Torch, and Wade Keller just had like an open thing. It was like, well, does anybody want to review these? You know, I was going to buy them because I like Jeff Jarrett a lot. I really have a lot of respect for the Jarrett family, and you know, I'm a fan of them, and I wanted to see this thing succeed. I wanted more wrestling than what WWE had or WWF had at the time. And, you know, I was a supporter of this, and, you know, I had no problem with the Flying Elvises. You know, I thought that was actually great, and I thought, you know, spinning off Siaki, and, you know, they did a lot with what they could. But, you know, I can, you know, give it a chance. And, you know, I've been sticking with them for so long, and I watched them for so long, and they drove me nuts for so long that, you know, I don't know if it's been about a year now plus, where it was just like, it's probably been about a year and a half now, where it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to get upset about this. It's not my money that's being lost. You know, it's not my, I mean, this, the whole Chris Harris thing over the weekend was a great example of that. You know, that 1.1 that they always draw, Chris Harris was, I mean, America's Most Wanted was, to me, a great tag team. You know, especially for the time,
yeah.
too.
Yep.
I mean, Harris and Storm were great. The match they had with Elix Skipper and Chris Daniels, where Skipper did the rope walk. I mean, that that was worth watching TNA and paying for TNA. And I think maybe right after that, they had the Fox Sports deal, too. I mean, I'm sorry. You could always find something, you know, for the most part, when they were on there, that it was worth paying for. You know, you can kind of equate beer money to it now if you want to look at it that way, too. But, you know, he was there for so long. They won Tag Team of the Year and, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and even in the, you know, they always did well and were well-respected in the, you know, the newsletter readers. And, I mean, you know, people knew who they were. And I know it's been a little while, but Chris Harris comes back and nobody knows who he is. Nobody cares, you know. Then they show, look at the great matches they had, and they talk about it, and it's got no impact. And it's like, wait, this is the same 1.1 that's pretty much been watching, you know, for I don't know how long now, and he was there when they were there. You know, these seem to be the loyal, hardcore fans. I mean, that's the ones who show up, right? And it was like, nothing. It didn't work, and he wasn't working either, but it's just like, and I think Meltzer wrote about it this week in the newsletter, too, but it did stand out as like, this, you know, this is kind of pathetic. I mean, that was supposed to be one of your big stars that you built up, and it was like nothing. You know, imagine Lonnie Brown walked back in the door. I mean, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
There's just no impact whatsoever, and it's like, you know, this is just another reset button push where it's like, okay, in 3 weeks, in 4 weeks, in 5 weeks, will anything have really changed? We'll go back to the same thing where, again, nobody cares. They'll get a bump out of this as far as viewership goes, but are they going to do anything to maintain it? They can, but they just don't.
What did you make of, I mean, you know, God grant, let's consider the source, but obviously Hulk Hogan out there talking about bemoaning the problems and attributing it to the fact that they're on Spike. I'm not buying it.
Well, I mean, he does have
one good point. He says, you know, when I'm on the road and I'm traveling, you know, and I turn on the TV in a hotel, there's always the USA Network, but there's no Spike. Well, you know what? If you're depending on travelers to be your audience in a hotel, then yeah, okay, blame Spike. But if you're blaming people that have Spike as regular part of their package, which I think pretty much most people do in their homes these days, you can't really blame that.
Yeah, I think they're 100% cleared, and with digital cable and with satellite, for the most part, Spike is going to be lobbed in with USA. That's how they do the channel system now. You usually get your Fox Sports and your ESPN, ESPN2. You get most of those things together in a block. You know, most cable channels are moving to that. So that excuse is bogus. The other part of that excuse is, yes, if they were on USA, remember when WWE went to, you know, Spike or the national network, I mean, that was a hell of a, that was a interesting thing, because even though Country Music Television, or I can't remember what it was right before that, or the Nashville network, had good clearance, I mean, it didn't have a cachet. It was way, way, way up the dial if you even had it on cable systems. You know, that was a more dramatic of a move where it's like, you know, no, that's true. That's where you could say, okay, Spike or the national network at the time, a fledgling network, you know, that they didn't pay off. When it comes to TNA, I don't know how they can say Spike doesn't pay off, because if they were on USA drawing that rating, they would not be on USA. I take that back. They would maybe on USA, but they would be on at some other wacky time, because all of their other original run programming, including the repeats of a lot of major shows, would do far better than that number. So I would not bite the hand that feeds me, because it's not Spike's fault. They should be, you know, and if Spike's happy with the number that they get, and because of the way Spike is structured, you know, that's true. But, you know, if they decide to all of a sudden change formats or something like that, I mean, it's, again, they do a good enough rating, and I guess Spike's happy with it, and that's cool and everything, but I wouldn't be biting the hand that feeds me if, you know, what would their other options be? You know, is it Spike's fault that then nobody that watches the show orders the pay-per-view? The thing is, if 1.5 million people are watching every week, and you're only getting 15,000 pay-per-view buys, that's not Spike's fault. And he knows that, and it is what it is, but it's like, you know, just it's so blatantly stupid.
Wanted to get your thoughts on something else that's happened over the last week. Obviously, I mean, there's still plenty of top stories to get to and stuff we want to catch up on, but the UFC and the insurance stuff, the benefits, I wanted to kind of get your take on that.
I think it's great. It's obviously great for the fighter. And it's a, whether they meant to do it or not, and I'm not going to say that they did, but I'm sure this, they had to have thought about this in the process. This does a good job of helping to not see mixed martial arts unionized. You know, no matter how you fall on unions, UFC as a company, you know, you don't want to be smacking heads with a union. You know, and UFC would always, Dana White, that would be impossible for him because you want to deal with everybody one-on-one, and you don't blame them, and you know, again, there's lots of pros and cons to unions, but by offering this branch out there and really saying, hey, look, if you get injured in training or if you get an auto accident, you know, while you're under the contract with us and everything, I mean, I just think it's a classy olive branch to extend and a smart one for the UFC, too, because with them being the only ones out there, with them having all these guys under contract and everything, I mean, you want to make sure the guys are taken care of. And, you know, people act a fool and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, look at certain training. You know, broken noses, there's concussions, you got to get x-rays, there's, you know, all that sort of stuff, which, you know, is not cheap. It does cost money, but, you know, for the most part, these are guys in tip-top shape. You're not taking a bunch of guys who, you know, and yes, there are drugs and all those other things like that, but for the most part, you're getting pretty finely tuned athletes in their prime. I mean, they have right. to be able to compete on the UFC level or even a strike, or yeah, obviously on a strike force level, it would be demeaning the way I said that, but really on any level, they're going to be as good as they can. So I think this is just, it's a great move all around for the UFC, and it's a great move for the fighters too, because it gives them a little bit of safety and insurance. A lot of people would say, okay, UFC would pay a GSP if you got hurt in training. That's great, but if I'm the guy on the undercard only making $3,000 and I'm, you know, even though I train every day and I'm at this fight in the UFC, I work a full-time job, you know, because I don't have the sponsorship and I don't have the cachet yet to really, you know, build myself up. I mean, that's the guy who needs money because he broke his hand in training, you know, so this just, it helps them out too. And it's just, it's a great move all around for everybody. It's hard as of right now, unless you get a ridiculous rash of massive unforeseen, you know, locust type of injuries, you know, it looks like it's going to pay off for everybody.
And of course, Brock Lesnar had to pull out a 131. I wanted to see what's the latest on him and his future?
You know, everything's still up in the air right now. I guess it all depends on how this next recovery goes and the surgery for the diverticulitis. And, yeah, you know, it could be career-ending. It would be too bad if it had to, if it happened that way, and it's a big hit to the UFC. I mean, they lost. You know, Carwin and Dos Santos will do. I can see that doing 500,000 buys, which I know people think I'm crazy. That's way too high, but I honestly think when you do have, they are heavyweights, and people love seeing dudes get knocked the F out. And I think if you sell it, and they had Paul Heyman there, I guess, working with the promotion or was going to be working with the promotion of the Dos Santos-Lesnar fight, obviously because he's the Ultimate Fighter, and they don't hate each other. They're relatively good guys, so I think they were going to add some sparkle and some eye candy to the whole thing and really build it up, you know, with promos and stuff like that. Not too over the top or anything, but really good. They were going to, I think, put the magical touches all around it where they could to make it strong. Well, they really should do that for Carmen Dos Santos. And I think they can whoop people into a little bit of a frenzy as far as, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big fight. And whoever gets this gets Cain Velasquez in Houston, which is going to be a massive fight. And again, a great sign of, you know, the Latino audience that goes to that show is going to be, I think, a wake-up call to plenty in the boxing world, too, that, you know, whether they listen to it or not, that you are losing your one of your stronger bases there, too, that you have left. But, you know, they can get $500,000 out of that. But with Brock Lesnar, I mean, that was a million buy fight. So you lose 500, 550,000 buys right off the bat because Lesnar's not there. And you lose Lesnar if he would have won against Carlin or Velasquez, which the fight was going to be at the Toyota Center. You know, there's a possibility you could have did that fight actually outside and had another stadium show this year that did, you know, 1.5 million buys, 2 million buys, possibly. But, I mean, the thought of Velasquez and Lesnar hammering each other again, I think you could whip people into a frenzy with the possibility of, I wouldn't think he would. I thought Kane was going to win again. But that if Brock can actually knock out Kane, I think you could really whip people into a frenzy for that, and they lose that this year. And it's a bad hit for the UFC. It's a bad hit for Lesnar, but hopefully he just actually gets better from all this because I don't want diverticulitis. It just doesn't sound fun. Plenty of colonoscopies and all that stuff. That does not sound fun.
Yeah, not a lot about it seems very attractive. I wanted to ask you a lot we could talk about with WWE, but of course we got Gabe Sapolsky coming up here in just a short while, so I don't want us to have to cut off too much. But we can probably fit this in. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Michael Hayes being in the corner of Tyson Kidd. I kind of like it.
As long as he keeps raiding Deion Sanders' wardrobe. actually, even Deion couldn't wear that. That was Jamie Duke.
Yeah.
I
got to tell you, though, you know, there's probably nobody better in the company right now to work that role, and man, I really would love to see them bring back managers because that is just such a great part of the business.
Well, he seemed to be, and you know, I'm in the camp on that. I mean, Jesus, why they don't have managers, I have no idea. The excuse that, well, you got to pay two people, all that nonsense. That was just crazy. I mean, Armando Estrada with Umaga that they screwed up there with, and you know, just plenty of breakups with, you know, managers and stuff like that. It's just insanity to me, and they should be bringing him back because it works. I mean, it just – there's always somebody with PR in real sports. There's always – and in entertainment. I mean, for all these things, WWE is sort of is but doesn't want to be but actually is, you know, sport and entertainment and all this stuff. They have people that do that, you know, in all aspects. So to get rid of them on your programming, you know, doesn't make any sense. They're still going to be your quote-unquote superstars, even if they have a mouthpiece there. In fact, they could be more of a superstar because they can do what they're supposed to do and what they're good at, and it buys them time as far as learning on the mic. You know, Ezekiel right. Jackson is a good guy. I mean, and look at how Ezekiel Jackson talks. He's got a Ghanaian accent. He's not like, you know, he doesn't have the Bob Sapp, and he can't, like, you know, raise the heavy bass in his voice and be the over-the-top character, at least not right now. And he's going to be a good guy. Why? Why is he not a bad guy with a manager to talk for him? You know, it's like, it's just, and I understand, okay, you know, you don't want to pay two people. With that said, they're the ones pulling them up way too fast from Florida, and they want to get them out there, and they want to try all these different things. At least having a manager will buy them the time, or at least would add to the pot a little bit more. You know, look at Bobby Heenan, for Christ's sake. They came out with the DVD last year, the Greatest Managers, or a couple of years ago, the Greatest Managers. It's just, you know, it's mind-boggling.
And obviously, crazy week on Tough Enough Monday night. You know, they... I guess Martin goes down. You know, he was probably the most consistent of the bunch in terms of at least, keeping the heat off of himself and performing pretty well consistently throughout. And, of course, he goes down to injury and has to leave. And I thought it was very classy, the ending with the exit. And then, of course, Christina going down. Basically, you know, I guess that looks like it was AJ's fault on that one. But technically they end up not eliminating anybody because they kind of lost two people unexpectedly.
Yeah. And, you know, you know, thing with Christina.
Well, here's the thing. If it truly was AJ just kind of missing that spot and her going down, hell, I would have just eliminated him right there. I mean, they've only got like what, three more episodes, two more episodes.
I guess. The thing is, they've got to have the final three, and she was there anyway. You knew she wouldn't win. So
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Her being guy and Martin, and the thing with Martin was too. They taped in, I know this has been talked about, but again, you know, they taped that Raw where Austin gives everybody the beer bath and everything. I forget what show that was, before WrestleMania, right after WrestleMania. And it's, you know, he was banged, he's hurt. You know, because
right.
The way they had it taped, so he had to go limping out there. Which, you know, he's pretty much guaranteed himself a spot now for a while.
Who is your favorite at this point of who's left?
Me, Jeremiah.
Because I got to tell you, as good as Luke may be,
Huh? That's one I think is going to win, but I like Jeremiah.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying I realize it takes a certain amount of cockiness. To be an athlete, to be an entertainer, when you know, I get that because I've been there. But that dude, God, he's an ass.
He's a douche.
He just comes off as a complete ass, huh?
Yeah, he's a douche. And that's you know, and Austin a couple weeks ago, you know, kind of throwing that back at him, you know, and you know, it just he's a. He's the kind of guy you want to punch in the face, but you know I can actually see him winning this. You know, I can see him winning it, and I can also see him when he finally actually goes to Florida and then actually comes up getting the Daniel Pewter treatment in the ring at the Royal Rumble, getting chopped to death. But yeah, I mean he's coming across as a dick, which is making for good reality TV and all that stuff too. But it's been good to see him get his comeuppance, like when Austin gave it to him.
All right, I tell you what, let's go ahead and cut it there, and we'll take a break, and we'll be back with Gabe Sapolsky here in just a little bit. If anybody wants to get in here, I believe he's going to be open to some conversation with some fans if you want to get in. Of course, the number here is 347-324-5735, and we will be back in about 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Joe Perry
and Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network. Brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today. And not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this and maybe a bit more by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder, here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof,
be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
All right, back on Ringside Wrap, and we welcome back to the show Gabe Sapolsky. Gabe, how you doing this evening?
Really good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Glad to have you. Loving what you guys have been doing. You got Evolve 8 Style Battle coming up Friday night. Talk a little bit about that.
Yep, we're coming to the Ace Arena in Union City, New Jersey, just outside of the Lincoln Tunnel in New York City this Friday night. And the big thing is that we will be on live iPay-per-view on WWNLive.com, so you can watch it if you're anywhere in the world and have an internet connection. Just head over to WWNLive.com. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time. And basically what we're doing is a tournament with a little bit of a different twist. We're having eight wrestlers, and each one is representing a different style, so it's kind of a little gimmick for the tournament, you know, to kind of make it a little bit different and add a little twist to it. So we'll see what style is the best. And I'm really pleased with the lineup. I think that we're going to really, really put on a great show. We got Austin Aries versus Bobby Fish. We have Sammy Callahan versus Brody Lee. We have AR Fox versus Rich Swann. And those two guys, if you have not heard those names, pay attention to it. The last Evolve show we had, Evolve 7, they put on a match. It was about 6 minutes long, and they did 6 minutes of stuff I've never seen before. It's like when Rey Mysterio and Psychosis first walked into the ECW arena and just brought this whole new different style. So pay attention to that one. So and we have John Davis in it, too. So we have a heck of a tournament. John Davis versus Tony Nese, who that's another couple of names to keep an eye on. A lot of people might know John Davis from Dark City Fight Club. We're giving him a shot as a singles wrestler, and Tony Nese I'm very, very high on. So if you don't know who these guys are right now, you will know who they are one day, so you might as well make that this Friday on the live iPay-per-view, WWNLive.com.
And Gage, you can actually give them a little bit of a taste of it, too, if they just go and look at the video package that was put together, which I don't know if you want to give credit to who did that or not, but you probably should, because that was a great little teaser video that was set up there to showcase the show.
Yeah, we have an awesome video editor now. I mean, absolutely cutting-edge video. It's about 1 minute long, so it's not like you have to sit there and watch it for 5 or 10 minutes, which I know it's tough, you know, on YouTube, and I know a lot of people don't. We have a super hot one-minute video. Just go over to EvolveWrestling.com. You can check it out there. Again, that's EvolveWrestling.com. So, you know, if you're just going to give us a minute to try to win you over, go watch that video for 1 minute, and I'm sure that you will be won over.
Now, a lot of people on GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com are older fans that have been around, you know, a lot of shows on the network with, you know, guys like Jerry Oates, Bobby Simmons and everything. A little bit of an older crowd that may not be – they're starting to get used to the iPay-per-view concept, and a lot of the standard complaints out there that has always been echoed when people try to, you know, kind of put a boo-boo on it is, well, you know, the video quality I've heard isn't that good and the sound and all that sort of stuff. And I ordered the Dragon Gate pay-per-views on WrestleMania weekend. I had a chance to see Evolve 7. And one thing, the quality is immaculate. The sound is immaculate. I mean, I was stunned. There wasn't a bump or a click seemingly at all, at least noticeable to me, in the Dragon Gate shows or the Evolve show. I mean, they were just been fantastic. What's been your thoughts on the iPay-per-view, and how do you try to convert some people? Obviously, the people that are online right now, they're far more comfortable with it. Do you do anything to try to reach out to those people, though, and get them comfortable with the thought of watching, you know, wrestling on their computers?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, and it's becoming more and more popular, and I think it's the kind of thing where as people just get better internet connections and it becomes easier to hook into your TV, and I think in 5 years pretty much everyone's going to have TVs with internet built into it. I think it's just going to be a natural growth of it. And when you know, whenever there's a new media, there's always a turnover. You know, we saw the same thing when VHS came in. It took people a while to get VCRs. Then DVDs came in. It took some time for everyone to get a DVD player. And now it's the same thing that's happening with the live eye pay-per-view. And, you know, I really appreciate the compliments on it. We've gone in-house with the eye pay-per-views now. The first few we did, which we weren't very happy with the quality of, they were on a different company. And since that time, we've taken everything in-house on WWNLive.com. And it's no accident that the quality has been that good. Sal Hamway, my partner in all this, he was actually into internet streaming with his Wrestling Vixen site 10 years ago. And then he shifted over to DVDs because 10 years ago people were pretty much on dial-up and the technology wasn't there. But he has been working with his technical staff now for a decade. So it's not like we just woke up one day and said, okay, we're going to start an internet pay-per-view company and we're starting from scratch. This thing's been 10 years in the making and we have the best people behind it. So that's why we have had that kind of quality and success. In the we've done one Dragon Gate USA eye pay-per-view and we've done one Evolve eye pay-per-view so far, and they've both gone down pretty seamlessly, as you mentioned. So you know, it's definitely the wave of the future, and we're right at the forefront on it. And it's been 10 years in the making, and we have great people behind WWNLive.com.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the style battle concept. How did you guys come up with that, and just exactly how, or I guess I wanted to point out, too, to anybody that's not familiar with it yet, that it's not going to count in the standings that we've talked so much about here on the show before, but I guess who came up with the concept, how did that evolve, pardon the pun, and then also why would these not count against the standings?
Well, the standings thing, it would get a little complicated because you'd have some guys with three matches in one night and some guys with one match, so it kind of makes things a little uneven. And we wanted to have a standalone event, and we wanted to have an event that we could make into something that we do on an annual basis. I mean, you look at it, you know, a lot of wrestling companies have this annual tournament, and it takes a few years to get it over, and then once you get it over, it's an easy show to do every year, and the people are into it. So this is the first annual edition of it. We have a big vision for it. You know, we plan to bring in different wrestling styles every year, and basically we wanted to do a different kind of show, and the way to do that with the Evolve structure is a tournament, and we wanted to do a tournament with not just for the sake of doing a tournament. We wanted to put a little something behind it, so that's where the style thing came in. And one thing about Evolve is that it is about evolving wrestling. I mean, that's what we're about. We're about featuring new wrestlers and new styles and wrestlers that take old wrestling styles and put new twists on it and evolve them, basically. So the idea of featuring different styles and putting a showcase on different styles fits right into the Evolve concept. And at the same time, it gives the tournament a unique reason to take place. So that's basically where the whole idea came from. So it's something we have a big vision for. And, for instance, I'll say, like, Tony Nese. Like, we were asking everybody, well, what style could you represent? And he goes, well, I don't like to go to the ground a lot, and like, you know, usually that's called, like, standing combat. And standing combat really isn't something that you hear much with professional wrestling, but yet this guy does incredible kicks. He does some great high flying, too, but like he said, he likes to base his style around staying on his feet. So now we have standing combat, which is like almost a whole new style of pro wrestling that we can feature and a new style that we can get over, and this tournament gives us the opportunity to do that.
Sure. I'm sorry, Mike. I think I cut you off going into that one.
No, see, saying that just reminds me of like the early UFC shows where it was just like Mongolian pit fighting.
Yeah, I'll admit, you know, I always liked that idea of the, I'm not a big UFC guy or MMA guy, but I always liked that concept of the early UFC shows, and I'd never really watched them or anything, but it's something that's really been stuck. I mean, it's not like something I heard about yesterday and said, okay, let's copy that, but it's something that, you know, I heard about years ago, and it's something that obviously has stuck in my head this whole time, and, you know, it's just a matter of having the right time to pull the trigger, and this is it. So you can say the original UFC concept definitely influenced this thing, and there's a difference between being influenced by something and ripping something off. So I always like to say that I'm influenced. So maybe somebody will say I'm ripping it off, but that's a matter of opinion.
Well, see, one thing that you know, picking the right time on when to do something and being able to sit back and everything. You know, in the age of instant gratification, when Evolve 1 happened and it was like, I don't know what people were expecting. You know, it was going to be a work in progress, and people didn't really know how to take it, you know. And I know you had to hear different things about it, both pro and con, and you know, ridiculous thoughts from people on it and everything. As it's evolved, literally, as it's gone along here, what has been your thoughts on it, and as far as the process and the moves you've made? Because it just, you seem to be, you've been very meticulous and smart, and we're going to start this thing small and slow without a big bang and just kind of build it up slowly, where, and that seems to be working, what a surprise, beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a culmination of a lot of different lessons I've learned over the years. I'll actually remember when Ring of Honor started, one of the first critiques that Paul Heyman had of it was he said, because we were pushing Ring of Honor like crazy. We were saying, this is the best wrestling, and we're beating people over the heads with it. And Heyman, he called me up one night, and he was like, you're going about this the wrong way. He goes, you know, you're trying to hit people over the head with this. He goes, let the people come to you. Let the word of mouth build. Let the reputation grow. And as the reputation grows, then you really have those fans. They're not just there because they heard a little bit of hype. They're there because they grew with the product. And that's what ECW did. I mean, it was a different time with ECW because they didn't have the internet to bash everyone over the head with tons of publicity and tweets and all that kind of stuff. And maybe Heyman would have gone that route if things were as they are now back then. But I always thought that he made a really good point, and that's, you know, a lesson he taught me in 2002, and it always stuck in my head, because I always just like the idea of, you know, start small and you know, we put out our fair share of hype, but let the fans hype it and let the fans build it, and that's exactly like what we've been trying to do with this. So it's something I learned in 2002 and something we're kind of executing now. And, you know, we're trying a different concept with it, making the records mean something, trying a leaderboard instead of titles, and you do get a lot of critiques with that, and every time anybody ever tries anything different, you get a lot of critiques. Excuse me. You get a lot of critiques, and there's a lot of people that might not understand what you're trying to do at first. But if they watch and they pay attention and they let the product grow and develop, they'll definitely be into it, you know. And you got to believe in your vision. You got to have a vision. You got to believe in your vision, and you can't be swayed from it. You have to execute it. And that's exactly what we've been doing with Evolve. You know, we're 8 shows in. This is the 8th Evolve show. So you're going to see Evolve basically evolve with every passing show. And to me, that's part of the fun of following a promotion, you know. And another thing is, like, we definitely wanted to try something different with it and try a different form of presentation, because if you're just going to do the same thing that's been done before, everybody else is doing, I mean, what's really the point? You know, there's not a need for another independent wrestling company unless it offers something different. You know, Chikara has done an absolutely fantastic job with a different kind of brand, and because they bring something different to the table. You know, CZW has their own twist. You know, ROH has that style, which you know, I obviously played a huge part in developing, and to me, it's kind of passe at this point, so it's time to switch things up, and that's what we're trying to do now. And if people don't accept it immediately, that's fine. We believe in our vision, and we're going to keep on with it, and maybe one day people will be along with the ride, and hopefully they will.
You know, trying to explain the concept of Evolve to Les Thatcher on this show, he kind of, you know, he just kind of, you know, wasn't really liking it. But we had some guys on. We had more than a few guys. We had Brody on. We had Jimmy Jacobs. We've had a bunch of guys on who they could talk their ass off. And I'm not saying soulless or anything like that, but I think he was actually pretty impressed with how these guys carried themselves. And I was really impressed with just, I mean, all of them from top to bottom, from when John Moxley. You have a bunch of guys who can really, people may not exactly know their names, but if they hear them talk, they can talk their asses off. Is that just kind of good fortune, or how did you look for guys who could really express themselves that great?
I mean, that's a huge part of it, and that's one of the reasons we started Evolve. You know, we started Dragon Gate USA first, and we just discovered all this talent, and we were like, you know, we need another forum to showcase this talent. I mean, the talent's out there, so let's do another promotion where we can really showcase these guys. And I'm actually kind of surprised to hear that about Les, because he's pretty open-minded about things, and he's also an old-school wrestling guy. And a lot of the Evolve concepts are just kind of old-school wrestling things, kind of modernized, you know, making wins and losses mean something in every single match. I mean, there's not anything more old school than that, you know?
But you know what got less? The thing with Les was it was the Dragon Gate thing, and we've kind of battled back and forth on that. Les is not exactly the Dragon Gate type of guy, which is understandable. I can always understand that. I respect that. Not a Chikara guy where I try to tried to help him along with that a little bit, but he's not really trying to hear it. But I think maybe he thought a little too much about that, which I think a lot of wrestling fans, when it comes to Chikara and Evolve and a lot of things too, where it's like, you know what, you cannot look at this like it's, you know, like it used to be. I mean, these are it's different and it's unique.
I mean, the wrestling style has definitely evolved, but I'll tell you, this goes back to something that Ricky Steamboat said when I was working with him in ROH, and it was one of the highest compliments for our talent roster ever. And one of the things I hold close to me is Ricky Steamboat said back when he was coming up and Ric Flair was coming up and Harley Race and that whole crew, that they heard, and guys like the Midnight Express and those kind of wrestlers, they all heard the same thing from the generation before them, because they were all taking wrestling kind of not a completely different direction, but they were definitely modernizing it. They were doing more athletic stuff. They were doing more things in the matches and, you know, more spots and that kind of stuff. So it's just, I think it's a generation thing where you're always going to get it from generation to generation.
Rich?
Yeah, well, I was going to agree with that. You know, the thing is, we actually got kind of into that conversation before. I think he is kind of sold on Evolve. I think it's just the Dragon Gate, that whole concept of the Japanese stuff that he just doesn't get into. But, you know, we've had that hashed that out, whereas it is a generational issue, and I think a lot of us tend to fall back to the stuff we grew up on, and that's always our favorite stuff, because that was when we had all the time in the world to be passionate about something. As we grow up, what we loved as a kid, it's really changed. And me as a musician, it's kind of the same thing with the music scene. You know, the whole music world has changed.
It's that way in every form of entertainment. I mean, movies.
Exactly.
TV, you know, when the show 24 came out, you know, I'm sure that it completely blew up the structure and what was done on TV, you know, and it was a huge deal, and I'm sure there are people that didn't like it. In movies, it's always like that, and music's the same thing. But, I mean, I understand where Les is coming from. You know, I miss the sound of vinyl. I went out and bought some records this year and got a turntable, because I like that sound of vinyl, because, you know, I grew up with it, and a lot of the music I listen to sounds best on it. But, you know, it doesn't mean that if it never progressed past vinyl, if, you know, that people that you know, the popular music industry will be where it is right now, you know?
Right.
So it's just part that happens. At the same time, you know, I do like a couple of Black Eyed Peas songs too. So there's room for, like, everything, you know? And I just admitted that, which is kind of goes against who I am, but, you know, it's true. So, you know, like, it's just that there's some of, you know, there's room for everything, and everything always has to progress and evolve, you know? And that's just the way it is in all forms of entertainment, and wrestling is no exception to that.
Absolutely. Hey, shifting gears just a little bit. May 27th, Dragon Gate USA Mercury Rising pay-per-view debuts. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're going on cable systems everywhere, and the Dish Network is definitely carrying this one. They already have it listed. That's Mercury Rising. Check your local listings for it. And pretty much, like, if you want awesome, awesome, great wrestling, you're not going to go wrong with this one. The top two matches are Yamato versus Akira Tozawa for the DGUSA title, and Masato Yoshino and Pac defending the tag titles against Shima and Naruki Doi. And those two matches are absolutely out of the world. If you want old school wrestling, you know, maybe Les isn't going to like it so much, and that's not a shot of Les, it's just what he prefers. Then, okay, if you want old school kind of matches, don't buy the pay-per-view. If you want, like, incredible athletic, and I can't put enough emphasis on the word athletic, cutting-edge wrestling, then those two matches alone are going to give you every dollar worth of the pay-per-view price and then some. And we do have very affordable pay-per-views as well. It should be listed for about $19.95 or something. So, you know, those are the top two matches. Check it out. I'm very proud of the show. It was from Atlanta, and it's going to be a great one. And then for Dragon Gate USA, we also do have two live iPay-per-views coming up, June 3rd from Revere, Mass., and June 5th from Manhattan, New York. And in between, we have a June 4th pay-per-view taping in Long Island, New York. So we have a big triple shot coming up for Dragon Gate USA. You can go to dgusa.tv for info on that. And, of course, the iPay-per-views will be on wwnlive.com, just like the Evolve one this Friday.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about Atlanta. You being down here for the first time, WrestleMania weekend, What was your take on it and on the crowd, and is there a chance you're going to be heading back this way, or was that kind of a one-shot thing?
We had a great time in Atlanta. We had an absolute ball, a great time. And we noticed that we did get a lot of fans from the Atlanta area and from Georgia and from the South. So Atlanta is definitely on the map as a possible location to go back to in 2012.
Very cool. Any chance the Evolve brand ends up here as well?
There's a chance. Right now, Evolve is just, you know, like I said, we're starting out small and slow, so I don't know how we would do in Atlanta at this point, you know, and with the travel expenses associated with it. So, you know, it might be a little bit before we get Evolve down there, but, you know, we definitely want to take Evolve all over.
No, it'd be great to see you guys back down here again.
Well,
Mike,
Rich just wants to see Revy Sky anyway, so that's all that really matters. That's all he's talking about.
I don't blame him.
Nothing wrong
and
with
Revy
that.
Sky will be on all our upcoming shows, by the way, both Evolve and Dragon Gate USA. So you can tune in, iPay-Per-View, live, WWNLive.com, and you will see Revy Sky.
Sure, and that makes it all worth it right there.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
All right, Gabe, it's been a pleasure having you again, and we'll catch up with you again sometime.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, kid.
All right, Gabe Sapolsky, we will be back in 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony for Red, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Fairy residence, Tooth speaking. Sorry, there's no credit fairy here. What's that? He magically raises your credit score? Yeah, there's no credit fairy. But you can improve your credit by paying bills on time and keeping your credit card balances low. Money under your pillow? Sorry, kids only.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. Brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hey, parents! Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak...
You know, I'm here if you want to talk.
...to 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean... I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
according to, who's this loon? Christian radio host Harold Camping. The rapture will begin on May 21st. End of the world will be October 21st. Got your tinfoil hat on there, Mike?
See, my world's going to end on September 10th, I believe it is, when the first NFL game is supposed to begin. And it's probably not. See, that really pisses me off because I can usually only take vacations in the fall, and it's always my favorite time of year for many reasons. So, you know, it would be my luck that the world would end. And is this guy just now, he's the one who failed at this in 1994, correct? And was he just trying to get a jump on the Mayans for next year or what?
You know, he claims that the reason the world didn't end in 1994 was his math was off. So, yeah, okay. All right. Okay.
Has he been hanging out with Brian Kendrick?
I was thinking seriously of trying to get Bobby Simmons from Peach State Pandemonium on here with us. Of course, he being a pastor, I figured he may have had something to add to the conversation here, but I think he probably would have just laughed this guy off too. So anyway.
Oh my God, we wouldn't want Bobby to burst into flames here. You know, having him on saying anything when it comes to this guy.
You know, I hate to make fun of people and what they believe. I mean, you know, people are going to believe in conspiracies no matter what. People are going to believe the world's going to end. People have been claiming the world's going to end for as long as there's been man. So, you know, it's, hey, when it gets us, it'll get us. Not much.
I was going to say, the world's going to end, but, you know, everybody that's saying that, you're going to be dead anyway, so who do you care?
Well, that's the thing, is this guy's not just saying it's going to end. He's picking a date, and not only that, he said it's going to all going to start about 6 p.m. Eastern time. Okay.
6?
Yeah.
That is too early to try to make a last booty call with someone other than your wife before all of this happens. That's like pre-game time usually on a Saturday, for God's sakes. You can't be doing this. And you know what? That would figure. And then thank God this isn't happening in like 1982, because then all this would be going down before Georgia championship game on.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I would much rather it if the world is going to end, let the Mayans be right as opposed to this guy, because I want the Falcons to win a Super Bowl. And you know, assuming a lockout it ends and the Falcons get a chance to play the season, just give me that one last chance. You know, just give me the one last season. Oh, Jesus. How do you dress for the end of the world? I mean, I'm wondering if I should have my good suit pressed and ready to go and just kind of sit there and wait on it.
Well, it depends on where you're at. Because I'm near the ocean. So, the world's going to end, things are going to start shaking.
Scuba gear?
I'm only a couple miles off the ocean, so the water is going to come, and I probably drowned anyway. I'm going naked.
Oh, God. You know, here's the thing. A guy at work got into a conversation with me about this. He's like, do you really believe this stuff? And I'm like, absolutely freaking not. And I think this guy does. And I'm like, no, but you know what? Here's the thing. Even if you believe in stuff like this, I'm not going to knock people for believing stuff. I'm never going to knock one for their faith and this, that, and the other. But, you know, I'm going to have fun with it. And that's what we talked about before we went to air tonight, was we were going to have a little fun with this. But, you know, the last thing I would do is make a claim like this, because when it doesn't happen, you look like an absolute buffoon.
Yeah,
you know?
But then apparently you can just wait, 16 more years or whatever, however long it's been now, because I don't do math well either, and then you can just come out with the claim again that it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, he forgot to carry the one. I don't understand. My whole thing would be if I believed the world was going to end, I wouldn't be advertising that I believed it, because, you know, here's the whole thing. If it doesn't happen, I'm a buffoon. If it does, well, you know what? Yeah, I was right. And who's gonna be able to say I was right? But then again, if it doesn't happen, everybody's here to say, God, what an idiot you were. So, you know, I don't know. It ain't gonna happen. We'll still be here next week. But if we're not, hey, it's been a great run. all right. I wanted to mention
good. That means I don't have to buy gas anymore.
Yeah. Well, what a shame that, you know, Les isn't here on the last show with us. Did want to mention, too, I failed to mention it at the top of the show, that Les is not here because he's not feeling well. And Les, if you are listening to us or if you catch the archive, hope you feel better, and hope to have you back here with us next week.
If Les was listening to us, he's pissed off about the fact that I said he didn't like Ring of Honor or Evolve.
Yeah, he's probably on the phone right now with Gabe. Here's something I wanted to note. We usually don't dig too far back into history here unless we have a guest, and we usually don't pinpoint it to Georgia because we are more of, I guess, the national and the major international stuff here, and the local stuff and history stuff tends to go to the other shows here on the network. But today, this would have been 38 years ago. That's assuming my math is right, and the Omni Coliseum hosted the first ever Georgia Championship Wrestling show.
Was it the Civic Auditorium, then the Omni? Because I grew up with the Omni.
Yeah, they were at the Atlanta Municipal Auditorium, dating all the way back to the 1920s, when John Contos first started promoting in Atlanta. I've basically traced the lineage back to him in terms of the promotion, but May 18th, 73 was the first Omni show, and the last municipal auditorium show would have been, I believe, it was December 79, I believe December 14th, 79, off the top of my head, was the last show there, and then they just went exclusively to the Omni after that. But there was a lot of – the first year, there weren't that many Omni shows. They kind of did it every couple of months, every 3 months or so, and special holiday-type dates. And then 74, they kind of ran a little more, and then 75, they really kind of picked it up. Started running at least once a month there. The first Omni show, the main event, just to kind of go through that real quick. Let's just run through the card real quick. Roy Lee Welch and Bob Orton Jr. went over Bill White and Ed Wiskowski in the opener. Bearcat Brown over the late Rocket Monroe. Tiger Conway Jr. over Sputnik Monroe. Then this match, which was out on YouTube for quite a while, and I tried to find it desperately because I wanted to make that our classic clip of the day at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Unfortunately, it was not still out there. But Eddie and Mike Graham went over the second version of the Mysterious Medics. And Mr. Wrestling 2 went over Billy Spears. That was followed up by the Super Infernos going over Bill Dromo and one of the Peach State Pandemonium co-hosts, Jerry Oates, in a lumberjack match, Norvell Austin over Jack Crawford, great manager from his era. And United States heavyweight title match, they had the Sheik come in to defend against Bobo Brazil, and you can guess that ended by a disqualification. And then, of course, the main event was a Cadillac tournament. They had the finals. This tournament had actually been going on for a few months. And Bobby Shane, it was kind of a round-robin final. Bobby Shane went over Bobby Duncombe, and then Bob Armstrong went over Duncombe. And this was when Armstrong and Duncombe were having that awesome, awesome feud that is still talked about to this day. And then in the finals, Bobby Shane goes over Bob Armstrong to win the Cadillac. And then, of course, they build that up with a second Omni date. I said earlier they only ran like about every 3 months, but I will say this. They ran the 18th, and then they came back the next week and the week after that. So the first three Omni shows were all 1 week apart from each other. And they kept the Cadillac thing going between Armstrong and Shane for a few weeks there. And actually, I correct myself on that being the main event, because the main event was a no disqualification, no time limit match with Bill Watts retaining the Georgia heavyweight title by going over Mr. Wrestling number one.
Listen to that lineup.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. And you really wish there'd been some video. Really wish there'd have been some video from that. The Omni had actually been. This was the first professional wrestling card held there. It had primarily been built for the Hawks from the NBA and the Flames from the NHL and concerts. Atlanta Mayor Maynard Jackson, who is part of the Hartsfield-Jackson airport name, he was in attendance for the show. And there's actually a photo of him out there with promoter Paul Jones. And speaking of promoters, Fred Ward came up from Columbus for that show as well. All great stuff, all great stuff. Yeah, and you can find that and many other things at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com if you hadn't checked it out. Always go there. But, yeah, 38 years ago today, and, of course, it was imploded, I believe, what, 97 to make way for Phillips Arena.
But now, what did you because I know Omni was a different style building, and the Baltimore Civic Center was old and everything. The Omni, obviously, growing up in the Baltimore, Washington area, there were always those landmark spots, Madison Square Garden, the Omni, places like that. The Sportatorium, before you realized what the Sportatorium actually was later on. As far as, you know, so there's always there was mystique behind the Omni, at least for me there was. And there was for people when it came to Baltimore, the Civic Center and the arena, and then when they had a chance to go, it was like, Jesus Christ, look at this dump. You know, what was it like as far as, you know, having mystique versus reality for someone that went to in sports shows and concerts, not only wrestling there?
You know, the thing is, the acoustics in the Omni for a concert, it really depended on where you sat. There were places in the Omni where it just absolutely could be abysmal for a concert and a total waste of money. To see a show, to see a wrestling show, great place. To see hockey, basketball, it wasn't everything it was cracked up to be. The thing is, with Phillips, which has actually been rebuilt on the same exact site, it actually feels like you're closer to the action now when you go to see an NBA or NHL game. Not that we'll be seeing any more NHL games at this point, but it's actually a great place. And the acoustics, actually, for the concerts I've been to at Phillips, it's actually a little better than the Omni was. But it was really an odd looking building. I mean, obviously it had the eggshell roof that everybody seems to remember from
The logo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that was awesome too. And the funny thing is, with Phillips, it's kind of hard to notice. And the thing is, the building had actually been around a while before I even noticed it. But there's actually. It says, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Atlanta. I think it says Atlanta in a design on the glass walls on one side of the building. I believe that's right. I mean, I could be mistaken. I've only been there a few times. I don't really pay that much attention to the exterior of the building, not really on that end of town too often. But I think it says Atlanta, and it took me a while because I remember I'd been seeing it, and then all of a sudden it made sense. Oh, that's what it says. You know, it's one of those kind of deals. But just to kind of give a contrast for that night, in Warner Robins, Georgia, that night, All South Wrestling was running. Let me tell you what they had going on. They had Jesse James and Ann Smothers going up against Valerie Griffith and the Cougar. Couldn't tell you who the Cougar is. I probably could if I looked it up. Georgia Brass Knucks title match, Rock Hunter defending against Dick Steinborn. Lumberjack match with Assassin 2, of course, that being, Joe Hamilton going up against Ray Candy. So those were the top matches in Warner Robins for All South on that night. I don't actually have the results there. But, the Omni was a really cool place. As a kid, it was a cool place because you're a kid. This place is just huge. It's just, you know, God, what a place. But then when you go there for an event, it was like, it's just, you know, it's no different than anything else, really. Nothing special.
It was in Baltimore where it was like, man, yeah, Baltimore got this great, right? I mean, the crowds were great, and, you know, I remember and they had those mixed shows at the Georgia show that was up there, Ronnie Garvin and Ted DiBiase and those shows, and obviously all the Great American Bashes and King of the Rings and all the stuff that's been up there from over the years, and it's just, you know, it's amazing because it was the fans and everybody else and the atmosphere that made the building, not the building itself. And, you know, the aesthetics of the building and everything. It's been amazing now. And it's like, the Cap Center was a big old concrete 70s style, big old dump of an arena and everything like that. And, you know, the MCI blows it away in DC, but in a way it doesn't have that feel. And when the Civic Center or the arena finally goes away in Baltimore and they have a new one, they probably won't have that feel. And it's tough to replicate that, and it's too bad because of the way wrestling is now and everything. It's not it'll never actually be the same. And I know time marches on and everything, but, you know, it's kind of too bad. It's kind of too bad when you had they used to have the intermission so you go smoke in the side of the building, which, you know, you're never, ever, ever going to see that again. And not that that was great or anything, but it was just one of those things I remember. And, you know, the Civic Center on the side, you know, they have the cage match. Because when it was set up in Baltimore, you know, they started changing around the entrances and everything where the stage was, where you saw wrestlers walk out from the stage area, you know, starting with, like, the Great American Bash and stuff like that. Well, that used to just be where guys sat back and sat. And you go back and, like, you turn your head and you'd see Ricky Morton there drinking a beer watching somebody else's match. Or you'd see guys back there watching matches. And, you know, the cage for the cage match that night was just kind of, like, propped up right there. And it was just, you know, something now with, you know, again, maybe it's not all that cool, but it's one of those memories from youth that's like, oh, yeah, it's too bad my kid won't be able to have that sort of thing when it comes to wrestling, because that, as much as the guys on TV and all that sort of stuff, it was those little things that ended up really sucking you in and making you a lifelong wrestling fan.
You know, real quick, too, while we're talking a little history stuff, I wanted to point out, remind anybody, I guess you can probably still get there if you're in the area or want to travel. The annual, Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Amsterdam, New York this weekend. Being honored are, on Saturday night at the banquet, are Bronco Nagurski, Everett Marshall, The Sheik, Dick the Bruiser, Jerry Lawler, Ivan Koloff, Billy Robinson, the Road Warriors, Paul Ellering, Judy Grable, and Vincent K. McMahon. Of course, TNA running a show in conjunction with this. I believe that show is on Friday night in Amsterdam. I'm guessing that the TNA crew and Vince McMahon are not going to be in the same place at the same time, right?
Vince probably won't be there at all.
Yeah, so far as I know, Koloff, Billy Robinson, Road Warrior Animal, and Paul Ellering are going to be there to accept in person. I'm guessing probably Jerry Lawler shows up. Don't know.
Probably. He's always good for that stuff.
Yeah, I would think he'd be there.
Well, he's got the freedom to do it. If nothing else, he's got the freedom to do it. So.
Sure. Yeah, he's one of the few that has the ability to go do that stuff. So anyway, we were talking internet pay-per-views earlier. You got stuff that you can order at through GWH. I wanted to mention that, not just the Dragon Gate stuff coming up and the Evolve event, but also Full Impact Pro. This one is on Saturday night, coming out of New York in Newburgh. Actually, some of you Georgia fans listening to us, some of you old school people, Demolition, you're going to have Barry Darso and Bill Eady working this show, so that ought to be a lot of fun. Anyway, you can get those if you go to the upcoming events section at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and look up the Evolve Wrestling Show on Friday, Full Impact on Saturday, or flip up to June 3rd and 5th and look at the Dragon Gate events. There's ordering information there. Anytime you order through GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, you're helping support us and keep us going. Also want to mention Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor coming up this Saturday night as well in Chicago Ridge. I don't know. I'm guessing that's, let's see, they usually put that stuff out. The DVDs, come out about 6 weeks later?
Yeah, about that, yep.
Yeah. So be looking for that soon. That'll be interesting. No Go Fight Live on that one.
There should be news coming out of this show, though, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. All right, anything else we need to hit on tonight before we head out?
Yeah, you know what? Full Impact Pro, which actually, and I didn't realize how far Gabe was out of it, because I tweeted him last night on it, that, you know, because I heard they're kind of doing a family-friendly sort of thing with FIP. And he said he didn't really have a lot to do with it now, but yeah, their shows are family friendly, and Demolition is, you know, is a good part of that too, because you can see some fabulous father son moments when it comes to Demolition. But it had me thinking when I first saw Demolition. I hate Demolition. I hated Demolition. Here's why. So it was like, okay, I know the one guy, because the one guy sounds like the guy that used to be one of the machines, Super Machine. Well, I actually knew at the time that that was actually Matt Superstar. So that kind of annoyed me. And then it was like, hey, the other guy's the Moondog. And the thing was, they were married by Luscious Johnny V at first. I never really liked him. No offense to Johnny V, I just never liked him. He was overrated promo and all that sort of stuff. But hey, man, wasn't my guy, that's it. And it was like, you had the Moondog there. Wait, it's just a Moondog with paint on. That was kind of annoying. It was like, they're just kind of rip-off Road Warriors. And I didn't like that. And then they bring in Crusher Darso, or Crusher Khrushchev. And that part pissed me off, because it's like, wait, you're barely covering up the tattoo with an arm pad. And this is like the fourth incarnation of this man I've seen. He was Crusher Khrushchev. He was Crusher Darso. I think he was something else. It was, wait, this, you know what? I'm pissed off. And the rip-off, you know, cheap imitations of the Road Warriors. It was amazing. By the time the Road Warriors got to the WWF, that, and granted, it was the talent that was there, too. I mean, Bill Eady is a remarkably, incredibly talented, underrated, historical, professional wrestling performer. At least in my opinion, he is. But it was like, it was amazing by the end of that. That was like, you know how good Demolition was and how well they stood out on their own and how well they hold up over time. And talk about making something work. And they did, you know, it had to be tough for Edie at first, even though he was working and we're going to get a push or however that worked at the time or with any of that stuff that, you know, from being called, oh, you're just rip-off Road Warriors to, you know, as good and respected and as popular as that team still is and the great Rick Derringer, the theme music was awesome, and it was a case of how great the theme music was. I mean, when they faced off against each other at the Royal Rumble, it was a moment that, you know, those who saw will always remember, and one of those legacy things to the Royal Rumble that made it awesome, that they, I think they've tried to replicate, but I can't remember who it was, so it doesn't matter. You know, it proves that the original stands out. It's going to actually be great, and they did Chikara last year or 2 years ago, too. It's going to be awesome to actually see them there, because yeah, that's a team in hindsight that is, again, they're, you know, not going to get enough credit either.
Agreed, and just know that there's a hell of a book going to be coming out. So,
more on that.
Yeah, more on that down the road. Anyway, I think we've about hit everything that we needed to talk about. Any thoughts on Raw before we do wrap up?
Didn't see all of it yet. I was kind of, you know, going back and forth doing some other things. So I got to sit down and actually watch and think with Raw. So one, it's on my DVR. Two, it's going to be replayed on, you know, Telemundo 2. Three, it's going to be replayed multiple times overnight on Universal HD. As well as AM Raw on USA that night, too. So we'll be able to catch it at some point because I want to see it all in one sitting. But, you know, I shouldn't say anything about it because I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it, and I was kind of going back and forth. So I will reserve any comments on Raw for right now.
Okay, my thoughts on Raw, if you don't see it, no big deal. You didn't miss it. You didn't miss much. But let me just say this. Kelly. All right. I'm sorry. I'm so in love with that woman. All right. Before we get in any trouble here, we're going to tail out of here. Mike, what do you got coming up?
I've got the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare that is up for subscribers of the WrestlingObserver.com website. That show, recorded Monday night, actually went up on Tuesday, early Tuesday morning. So that show is up there right now for everybody. And if you want free me, Sundays, 6 to 8 with Brian Alvarez, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network, which you can listen to on Sirius Channel 92, I believe it is, on the sportsbyline.com website, through several different phone applications and iPod applications that you can get, or just go to WrestlingObserver.com and listen to it that way. KGO in San Francisco. WHSP out of Las Vegas, as well as other stations as well. So we can be ubiquitous on your Sunday evening, Brian Alvarez and I, on Wrestling Observer Live. So that's it, I think. I might have something else going on, too, but too late now.
All right. And, of course, you can listen for less doing usually Thursday stuff with Mike Johnson over at PW Insider, and also on Saturdays doing the Wrestling Weekly thing with those guys, Doc. And I don't know, is Doc back?
Doc is back, yeah.
Cool.
He was back last week. So, yeah, you know, he's, it's hit and miss sometimes, you know. But,
yeah. Always pulling for Doc. Good guy. Anyway, check that out, Wrestling Weekly on weekends on the Wrestling Observer site. And, well, anything you need wrestling-wise, MMA, you can always get it at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. If you can't find it there, be sure to check out the Wrestling Observer and Figure 4 website. That's going to do it
for
us.
By the way, too, Statute of Limitations, I think, is running on the members portion of the Super 6 Boxing Report I did for off of Showtime for the Observer site on Saturday night, so we'll get that over to you. So that's up on the GWH site as well, because I did a pretty good report on that show.
All right, and that's going to do it for us this week. And hopefully, assuming the rapture doesn't come on Saturday, we'll see you here next week. And if it does, well, it's been nice knowing you. See ya.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.